Raise your hands if you've ever been bullied at school. Or if you'd like to raise your hands if you've ever bullied someone when you were at school. Or raise your hands if you have a child who was bullied at school or is. Because today we're going to talk about something that most parents and most teachers don't want to talk about. And that's school bullying. We're going to talk about three red flags that you as parents need to know about when it comes to school bullying and what can you do about them. Now, of course, this is a really important topic and, yeah, a topic that is not easy to talk about and something we tend to shy away from, but we have to stop doing so because we have to look at bullying straight in the eye. So we're going to do that right after the intro. Welcome to the Apparently Parent podcast. My name is Iran Katz, and I'm a clinical psychologist, a parenting counselor, and also a father. In this show, we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. So if you want to understand your children and yourself better, lead your family into calmer waters, and reach the end of the day with a smile on your face, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Iran Katz. All right, welcome, my friends, to the 39th episode of the Apparently Parent podcast. How are you guys? If you are in the US, I hope you are happy with how the elections turned out. Okay, I'm recording this before the elections, but when these episodes come out, it's going to be right after the election. So I hope wherever you voted, you are happy, as long as you voted for the right guy. Anyway, today we're going to talk about school bullying. Now, I know what you may want to say. Hey, Iran, no one's going to school because of COVID and lockdowns and things are really different, so why talk about bullying right now? But, well, bullying is there all the time. All the time, right? Even if your children do not go to school right now, whatever your condition is. Maybe you listen to this episode in 2021 when things are okay again. I don't know. Okay, it doesn't really matter because bullying exists even in school or outside of school. Bullying exists online. I know that you know that. Okay, so even if your children do not see each other in school, they do see each other maybe on the playground, maybe online, and school bullying can happen over there as well. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. School bullying and bullying at large is here to stay. So you as parents need to know about what bullying looks like and what do you need to notice in your child's life in order to maybe catch it before it goes too bad. Okay, so let's talk about what school bullying or what shunning is. Okay, these are all issues that we tend to not talk about. Hey, both as parents and as children, we try not to talk about what it's like when our peers treat us badly or maybe do not treat us at all. Okay, so being avoided, being shunned by your society can be almost as painful as being bullied. But it's really important that we talk about it because if we don't, we may not see that something bad is happening. So maybe you can think of yourself, if you have ever been bullied in some way or was avoided as a child by your peers, think about your own experience and what was it like back then. Maybe it was 20 years ago or maybe it was 30 years ago. Maybe for some of you it was 40 or 50 years ago. What was it like to be on the receiving end of being bullied or being shunned by your society? Were you able to get some help to talk about what's going on for you, maybe at home? Were you able to seek help and get it from your parents or maybe from your siblings? Okay. And as parents today, if your children are going through or will go through something like that, would you want them to be able to talk to you about that freely and get the help they need? I'm sure that you do want that, right? You don't want them to be bullied, but you want them to be able to talk with you about it if it happens, so that you can be there for them for reals and really help them. So what I want to talk about today is, first, what's it like for a child to be bullied or shunned? When I'm saying shunned or shunning, I'm talking about those situations where kids are just being ignored by their peers. Sometimes it's organized against those kids, and sometimes it's less organized, but it's still really prevalent. Okay, and by understanding the internal experience of your children in situations like this, you will have a better chance to notice it when your children are going through that, and then you can approach them and help them with that. So let's start with simply defining what does bullying or shunning feel like. So again, being bullied at school is when someone else, usually a child, or it can be an older child, okay, or the child at the same age of your child. Sometimes it can come from younger children, but usually it's the same age or older children treat your child badly. It can be physical violence, like getting hit or, you know, being robbed of their lunch money and stuff like that. And it could also be verbal violence instead of physical violence. Of course, it can be both. Okay, either way, it's humiliating. It's about the humiliation of the child who is being bullied. Now, being shunned is a kind of social isolation. As I've said, it's about your peers, your classmates, not regarding you, ignoring you. No one is your friend. Sometimes it's organized in a way that it has a being your friend will come at a high price. So no one will want to be your friend, because even if they like you, because being your friend may cost them a social price. Okay, so they won't be friends of the cool kids anymore. So whether your child is being actively bullied, verbally and or physically, or just being shunned and just is in quotes unquote, right? The act of being shunned or bullied is both of these are create an atmosphere of social isolation for your child. What does it mean? In simple words, it means that the child who is being bullied or shunned enters a really harsh situation where it's he or she versus them. Now, them can be different kinds of them. It can be the teachers, it can be the bullies, it can be the entire class of children. Okay? It doesn't matter. It's that child versus a group, usually a group that acts violently and, of course, non-empathically. Now, naturally, that child will feel lonely. That child, he or she, will be rejected by their peers and they are left totally or almost totally alone. And being lonely is one of the most hurtful experiences that human beings can experience. It's a deep, deep experience that is more harmful than being alone. Being alone and being lonely are not the same things. Loneliness goes much deeper into your soul. That's because we humans are social beings. We strive on social interactions, even if you consider yourself an introvert or, you know, a soloist or someone who doesn't need anyone, okay? Or you only need one or two friends, okay? You still need friends. You still need someone to talk to rely on, to be there for you. We crave social contact, and without that, we just wither away. Now, this is true for children maybe sevenfold, okay? Because children who hadn't yet developed the internal structures, the internal scaffolding to support themselves, they need the outside society even stronger. The need is even stronger for that than adults who can also support themselves, also can take care of themselves, both physically but also emotionally. So try to imagine that child who suddenly finds himself totally alone against what seems like the rest of the world. You may have felt like that yourself when you grew up, okay? Maybe you didn't. Just take a moment to imagine that. Imagine feeling that loss of society, feeling abandoned. Now, the lack of security and all the negative experiences that children who suffer school bullying can accumulate during those days, they may contribute to what we psychologists call learned helplessness, which is simply the feeling that there's nothing to be done. You become desperate. You have these feelings that there's nothing that you can do, so why even bother? There's a famous experiment, and I know that you may not like to hear about that experiment because the poor animals that had to go through that, but I'm going to mention it anyway. It's a really famous experiment done by a psychologist called Martin Seligman, who then after that, if I remember correctly, went on to more positive areas when he kind of created the field of positive psychology and the research around that. But anyway, back in the day, he had some dogs in a cage. And that cage had two parts of the cage. One part, one half of the cage, had an electrical floor. Okay, the floor of that cage was electrically rigged, and the other part of the cage wasn't. And every now and then, unexpectedly, without any alert, any alarm going off or something like that, the dogs were electrocuted. Nothing that really hurt them, okay, but it was, of course, painful and not comfort, okay? Sometimes maybe I'm butchering the experiment, the description of the experiment, but the point is still the same. Sometimes they did have some alarm going on before being electrocuted. But those dogs that started with the experience of being electrocuted without any alarm, without any way to know when it's going to come, they developed what was coined as learned helplessness. They learned that there's nothing they can do about their situation. So they just succumbed to depression and they just didn't move to the other side of the cage, even when they knew the alarm, by having the alarm going off, they knew that the electrocution is going to come. Okay, so they knew that it's going to hurt them, but they just gave up on going up and moving to the other side of the cage where there was no electrocution. There was no pain, but they just gave up on that. That is learned helplessness. So your children are not going over the same thing, or I mean those children who are being bullied, but the feeling is the same, that there's nothing that I can do about it, so I just give up on trying calling for help or trying to fight it, okay? So those children may succumb into a kind of passivity that maybe is new for you because you don't know your children as passive in such a way. Now, let's talk a little bit about self-confidence and self-worth. Children who are suffering from shunning or from school bullying, they usually suffer from damage to their own self-confidence. Okay, because even children who did develop a healthy and positive sense of self-worth and confidence, suddenly they find themselves feeling bad about themselves, like they're worth nothing at all. Because suddenly the outside, the external environment is telling them that they are worthless, that they are weak, that they should not be regarded as equals. Now, if we want to understand why it happens, let's go into a little field trip into psychology, and I want to tell you about a psychologist called Heinz Kohut, and he's long dead, and he developed a whole personality theory around how we grow up, getting feedback from the environment. Now, this is going to be like the tip of the iceberg of what his theory is all about. Okay, but this is not the place to expand on that too much. But basically, he claimed that as we grow up, we develop a sense of self-worth through the feedback that we get from the environment, mainly from our parents, but then from other people. Okay? And he talked about three needs that parents need to feel for their children. And those needs are mirroring, idealization, and twinship. Okay? So what does it mean? When we mirror our children's behaviors, their thoughts, and their feelings, okay, we're kind of helping them build their own internal experience and learn about themselves. So think about a baby that is crying maybe, and parents are kind of mirroring the actions of the baby. Maybe they make a sad face themselves and they say something about what happened to the child. Oh, you're crying because you spilled the glass of milk that I gave you. Okay, just an example that came up for me right now. Okay, so when you mirror the experience, you are helping your child develop their own ability to see and understand what is going on inside of their own souls. So that's one part of that. Now, when we act as a source of security and power for our children, when we take care of them, when we protect them, then we feel their needs for idealization, for having some attachment figure, a bigger and wiser attachment figure, someone who is there for them, for really taking care of them and makes them feel safe. Now, when we join them in their games and their interests, and we show interest in their own inner world, we feel the need for twinship. And that helps them feel like they belong and they have something worthy to contribute to society. However, as every parent knows all too well, as our children grow up, they need us, the parents, less and less, and then they rely more on their peers to fill those needs. So when the children are going through school bullying or shunning, those needs are probably not getting answered, not getting filled, not getting approved. When children are repeatedly told by their peers that they are fat, ugly, stupid, worthless, weak, and other mean shit the children can't tell each other, sometimes they actually start to believe it. And even if nothing bad is being said, the mere experience of being shunned by your peers can send a cruel message of, hey, we don't want you with us. And that message makes children feel like they are nothing and they are unworthy to get love. So that was a discussion of how it is to be bullied and shunned, what it feels like from within, emotionally. But the question now comes to how you can recognize the distress that comes with school bullying. Now, as adults, when we are going through something bad, we usually are able to explain what's wrong, even in broad terms. You usually can find someone to talk to. Let's say, for example, that something's really annoying going on in your workplace. All right? So maybe your boss is kind of bullying you or treating you badly. You probably can explain first to yourself what's going on and then to someone else, maybe your therapist or your spouse or your friend or your coworkers. Right? You can find someone to talk and share your feelings with, and you can explain what's going on. Now, how easy would it be for your children and for you if they knew how to do that as well, right? It would be great if your kids could just come to you and say, you know, mom, you know, dad, it's really going bad for me at school right now. I'm being shunned by my friends and I'm being bullied by some of them. I don't want to go to school anymore and I'm really sad and frustrated and a little bit angry and kind of afraid. However, unfortunately, most children aren't as A, self-aware, and B, as verbal when it comes to their own internal experience and emotions. So how can you notice and recognize when your children are being bullied or shunned? Because sometimes it's going to be up to you to notice that and help them tell you what's going on. There are several signs that may raise a red flag, but first, a little bit of warning. It's important to say that these are not exact sciences. Not every child who shows any of those signs is under any danger. it's not so clear. Those are simply red flags that you can notice and may aid you in trying to be more mindful about your child's experience, to be more aware of their experience and their own situation at school. And by noting and noticing those issues, you may start to ask yourself and your child more questions about their experience. So let's look at the first red flag, which is school refusal. Now, if your child went to school on a regular basis, and yes, I know during COVID everything is not regular, but you know, you can figure it out, and suddenly they refuse to go to school, you must ask yourself why. Okay, so I'm putting the old COVID situation to the side for a second because we're talking about some general stuff right now. Sometimes your child may tell you straight away that he or she doesn't want to go to school because someone is bullying them. Okay, which would be, okay, it wouldn't be great, but it would be great that they can tell you that. But more often than not, being bullied or shunned at school raises for the children so much shame and guilt or even fear that they try to hide the real reasons for them not wanting to go to school. Now, school refusal can be explicit, like a child who says, I don't want to go to school today, or I don't want to go to school anymore, with or without stating the real reason. However, usually it's more implicit than that. Usually school refusal can manifest more through physical ailments and pains, you know, such as a child complaining, you know, that their head aches or their stomach hurts all the time, with no apparent reason, okay, with no apparent physical reason. I don't mean to say that if your child is having some headaches recently, it means that something like that is going on, like he's being bullied either at school or over Zoom or WhatsApp or whatever, okay? It doesn't mean that. You have to first check if something physical is going on, but even if not, it doesn't necessarily mean that bullying is the reason. But however, sometimes there are physical manifestations of stress and anxiety and even depression, which shows up in such ailments, such pains. So you have to just be aware of that and start to ask question. You should try to listen to what your kids are saying explicitly and implicitly, and then try to understand if there's something behind the physical pain, as those, as I've said, symptoms may signal stress or anxiety. Now, the second red flag that I want you to know about is all about avoiding social interactions. And again, COVID kind of blew everything away. But again, you can think about how in your own situation, what would social interactions would look like and what would avoiding social interactions would look like. So naturally, a child who is going through school bullying or shunning will feel uncomfortable being around those kids who are hurting him. It's like those kids will try to avoid activities and interactions involving the rest of the class or the bullies. And it can happen in the school environment, when there are schools, or outside of the school environment, like going to the playground or to extracurricular activities. And even if your children are having some social interactions online, your child may try to avoid that. And again, there may be other reasons why your children avoid those situations, but it's best to notice it and then ask yourselves and maybe ask your kids what's going on. And that brings us to the third and final red flag that I want you to think about, and those are major mood shifts. Children who are in distress because of school bullying may not always know how to seek help. And in situations of social isolation, they may feel helpless, like we said, learned helplessness. They may feel lonely, and they may also feel ashamed for the situation. They sometimes feel like it's their own fault that this is happening. And this is why many children feel that like it's impossible to share their experiences with adults, even with their parents, even if there's a good connection and a real bond with their parents. As you may know, keeping things in is not really an efficient way to deal with your emotions. And at one point or another, your kids will show their distress in some way. Now, one such way is through major shifts in their mood. Sudden jumps from being in a positive, relaxed mood to outbursts of anger or fits of crying. Those may signal that there's something emotional storming inside of their soul, rummaging through their soul and eating them from within. And you should ask yourself what that thing may be. Those shifts may also be apparent through behavioral shifts, such as a sudden lack of appetite, or suddenly they're having sleeping problems, or even problems with school activities, such as flunking classes or starting to act out in school. Now, again, I know that we are in the end of 2020, which was and is a crazy year, and everything, all the cards are reshuffled, and school activities are not the same as we used to have them. So you have to look at things from the right perspective and from the right context. But those questions can help you start to maybe notice that something bad may be going on, and then you can act on it. So what do we mean by acting on that? What can you do to help your child if they are going through school bullying? So if you suspect that something bad is going on, I bet you are very worried, which is fine and natural and kind of good, because when you worry, you want to act on that, right? So that's the motivation to do something. Now, if you don't know what is really going on, if you don't have any information, you probably have several frightening scenarios or scripts running in your head. So what I want you to do first is to stop, take a good breath, a long inhalation, and just try to take a couple of steps away from whatever you're imagining, because you may be wrong. And I don't want you to act from that place of freaking out. Now try to find a time to talk with your child. Find a comfortable time when you can have a real good conversation with your child. Don't do anything heavy or official, okay? Such as, you know, asking your child to, hey, come here, son, we should have a talk, okay? But also don't do that in kind of a haphazard way, like while you're doing the dishes or on a commute. And especially don't do that with other people present in the room. You can do that with your, you know, with your spouse and your child. You can have a discussion, but don't do that when the siblings are around, for example. So how do you do start the conversation? So again, if you still don't know what's going on because you didn't get any information, just share with your child that you noticed that something is different lately. Not wrong. Don't use phrases like there's something wrong going on with you. Something has changed lately. Something is different lately, and you notice that. Try to keep the tone of your voice as curious, loving, and empathic as possible. And you may be worried and anxious, and that's okay, but you have to steel yourself and try to keep yourself as calm and curious and loving and empathic and welcoming as possible, even in your tone of voice. Because listen to how I am speaking right now. I'm trying to keep my voice as soft as possible and welcoming as possible. And it's totally different from when I'm talking like that, right? So our prosody, our tone of voice carries so much information for your children. And it impacts their safety with you in crucial ways. So try to just keep your voice as calm, natural, loving, welcoming as possible. You are there to listen, and that's all. You are not there to judge, and you're not there to solve the problem just yet. You're just there to listen and to let your child feel they're safe. So, for example, you can say something like, you know, hon, I've noticed that lately you don't want to go to school because you have all these tummy aches. And I also noticed that you stop going for your soccer practice. And that's actually okay. I'm not angry about that. But I know that something like this can happen when something bad is happening in school. So maybe you want to talk about it. Could it be that something bad is happening for you at school? And you know, you can tell me, it's okay, I won't be mad because something bad is going for you at school. So this is one way you can phrase that. Now, I want you to think about that you should give your child time. Remember that those situations usually involve a lot of shame for your child. So they may have a hard time sharing it with you, even if you come as calmly and lovingly and welcomingly as possible. They may have some hard time just opening up. So give them time and just continue being curious. So maybe you said what I just offered and your child is like, oh no, everything's okay. Nothing bad is going on. So you can say something like, okay, thank you for telling me that. And I just want you to know that if I'm still a little bit worried and if something bad is going on, you can come talk to me whenever you feel like you're ready. So you can let go for that moment, but you do let them know that you were there when they want to tell you anything. Now, something that can really help is sharing your own experience. Trying to connect to your own past experience with school bullying or shunning or something similar, okay? Even if that's not exactly the same. Even just moments when you didn't want to go to school, okay? You can share those moments and memories with your child. Not because you want your child to take care of you emotionally, of course, okay? Okay, but by doing so, you can eliminate some of the loneliness that your children may feel in those moments. Some of the shame can be cast away from the window when you do that. When you show them that you know that they're going through something that is something you may be familiar with, that can really help. This is an important modeling situation for them, and that can help them feel a little bit more safer with you so they can share that with you. Remember, social isolation is one of the hardest things a human being can go through. This is why, you know, in prison, when some prisoner acts in a really bad way, they put him in social isolation. So this is one of the worst things that can happen for a human being. And your child needs to feel accepted and a sense of belongingness. And this is how you can give it to them. Now, if your child do share something that is going on in school, bullying or shunning or something like that, you will probably feel a deep yearning to solve things for them. You may suddenly want to call the parents of the bullying children or to call the teacher and give everyone the peace of your mind and find a solution and do something. And that's totally natural because you're the parent and you want to protect your child and you want to make your child as happy as possible. But I want you to remember that before you do anything, it's crucial that you first stop and listen and validate your child's feelings. That's more important than what you're going to do after the fact. Just wait and listen to whatever they're saying. Try to notice what they're feeling and validate everything. Wow, how angry you probably are when they do that. How hurt you may feel. And you can share your emotions. I'm feeling sad that this is happening for you. How worried you are when your best friend is suddenly not speaking to you. Those are all emotions that need to be validated and acknowledged and accepted by you. And when you do that, you will make your child feel a whole lot better. Now, remember that everything is temporal. Try to remember that in these situations, as hard as they may be, usually they are temporal. Remind it to your children as well. You can't promise that, but you can also put a little bit of hope on that. When kids are being bullied or shunned, they may feel that this is an endless, hopeless situation, the end of the world, and this is going to be like that for the rest of their lives. This may enhance the learned helplessness. So remind them that things come to an end and usually are getting solved. And remind your children that they are not at fault of what's going on. They're not guilty of going through this. It's not their fault, even if they did something to contribute to that. Usually bullying and shunning are happening because of childhood whims or issues of control in those who started. Usually bullying comes from the bully wanting to feel more in control, because maybe, usually, something is bad going in their own lives. So usually it's not about the victim. It's not about the child who is being bullied because of something they said. Now, another tip I have for you is that you should try and build a story. Okay? Try and examine the narrative of whatever is going on with your child. What is the story they have in their mind? Now, there's a big difference between those two stories. Okay? So the first one is, you know, all my classmates are shunning me because I'm ugly and I just suck at sports. Or the second one is, Johnny is shunning me out because he's jealous that I'm getting better grades than him. And the rest of the kids are just acting like him because he's such a bully. Now, the second story, the second narrative, puts the emphasis on the perpetrator and pulls the carpet from underneath the low self-esteem that your child may feel. So it can also show your child that is usually a small nucleus of bullies and the rest are just kids who are afraid to act differently. So they stay silent, or maybe they imitate the leader. So when you can structure a different kind of narrative, it can help your child feel better about what's going on and move away from the feeling of I'm guilty, or I'm weak, or I'm worthless because of whatever is going on. Now, if you can, try and identify those kids who are more prone to not cooperate with the shunning or bullying. And maybe you can try to engage in some after-school activities and meetings with them. Okay, never try to enforce that. Maybe your child is not ready for that yet, but this is a good place to start. And finally, look for some networks of support. So the last thing I said is kind of part, is actually part of that. So you should try and find more people who can be with your child and give him or her a sense of acceptance and belonging. More children, similar age relatives, etc. This does not solve the bullying per se. I think you should try to do something about that, and you should contact the school for that. We're going to talk about that in a second. But besides that, you can find more people to give your child this sense of belongingness and acceptance. So as I've said, contact the schools, engage the school faculty, talk to the teacher, talk to the counselors. If there's a psychologist working with the school, they usually have the tools and protocols for those situations so they can help. And eventually, don't stay alone with that. If you, the parent, need any help with dealing with the situation, don't hesitate to seek help. Talk with a therapist, a mental health professional, a child therapist, whatever works for you, okay? Find support groups online. You can join my group on Facebook, Navigating Parenting. You can find it on apparentlyparent.com/Facebook or other groups. Get emotional and practical help in your area or online. Don't stay alone with that. So, to conclude this discussion about school bullying, we've talked about how bullying can manifest either by actual physical or verbal violence. So that's bullying, or by shunning, which is ignoring your child, not being friends with your child, influencing other children to not be friends with a child, etc. Now, during COVID, things may look different and things are more happening maybe online, but bullying and shunning can also happen there as well. And we talked about the concept of learned helplessness and how actually bullying is making a child feel really lonely. Not specifically alone, but more lonely. And sometimes feel feelings of guilt and shame and sadness about what's going on. And this can create a learned helplessness when they start to give up on trying to get some help. And it's up to you, the parent, to notice the red flags. So we talked about the red flags, which are broadly speaking. Those were school refusal, and notice when school refusal is maybe because of physical ailments that may signal towards anxiety or stress. Avoiding social interactions in school or outside of school. Major mood shifts. And then we talked about what you can do in order to help your child, and especially how to approach your child in a curious, empathic, loving, and a non-judgmental way in order to ask and offer your help. And when and if you get some inclination or information that shunning or bullying do go on, what can you do about that? Okay, how can you help your child? By sharing your own experience, by validating their emotions, by trying to restructure the narrative, and also by looking for help, getting some local or online support, maybe for your child or for yourself as a parent, and of course, by contacting the school, because they are the professionals and they should have some protocols of how to really deal with those situations. So that was that for today. Okay, that has been a long discussion about school bullying, but this is a really important topic that we usually don't want to talk about, but it's really important that you know to notice what's going on in your child's life in order for you to really be there for them and help them. And if you have any more questions about that, you're welcome to join my group on Facebook. It's free. It's called Navigating Parenting, Raising Secure and Confident Children. And you can find it on apparentlyparent.com/Facebook. It will take you to the group. Join us. And if you have any issues with bullying or you want to share from your own experience or ask questions, just go there and we're going to be there for you. If you have found this episode helpful, if you know someone who should hear that, who should listen to that, let them know. Share it on social media or email that to them. Whatever you do, okay? Share it with whoever will find it helpful, because I want to reach as many people as possible, because these messages can really help, even sometimes save lives, okay? So don't be shy about that. And I will really appreciate it if you would go to Apple Podcasts and give a review for this podcast, because that will also help me get in front of more ears, okay? If you want to know how to do that, just go to apparentlyparent.com/podcast, and there's a little bit brief explanation of how you can help with that. And that's that for today. That has been the 39th episode of the Apparently Parent podcast, and tune in next week, because there's going to be a really fun and good episode that I waited to do ever since I started this podcast. I'm having an interview with someone that I really appreciate, and I'm really happy that she's going to be on the show. So just stay tuned for next week on Thursday, when the 40th episode of the Apparently Podcast will come on with her, and I will see you there. Have a wonderful week in between. Have fun. Bye-bye.